Now, my next guest is Bruce Williamson from Rail Future. Rail Future is an organization that operates across all networks. It's independent, and it's one of the many things that it campaigns for is fairer prices and more transparent rail fares. In addition, also, Rail Future also promotes and champions the issues faced by operators, and hoping that this synergy will create a better rail service for everyone involved. Bruce, thank you for joining me on the show.
Hi.
So, we know that fraudulent tickets are illegal and not good for anyone, but can you understand why people and passengers are so frustrated and infuriated that they are willing to break the law in order to travel?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, you know, rail fares in this country are very expensive. The walk-on fares are the sort of most expensive in Europe, and to be fair to the train operating companies, they'll argue that the off-peak fares are amongst the cheapest in Europe, which is also true, but the point is, you and I want to get on a train and buy a ticket that's affordable when it suits us, not when it suits the train operating company.
Well, exactly. And it seems quite sinister, really, because they're going after the people who need to travel, either for business or for late. You know, I've never known I'm going to travel up to 2 weeks in advance. It just doesn't happen. But it feels a bit sinister that you're attacking the person who needs to get on a train at a short notice.
Well, yeah, undoubtedly. I suppose it's a way of managing the travelling public to sort of to suit the needs of the train operating companies. And it should, of course, be the other way around. But, you know, the reality is most people want to travel, you know, at sort of to get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever and go home at 5 o'clock. And that's when the trains are going to be overcrowded. And, you know, for the rest of the time, there's a lot of sort of spare capacity on the network. So it's understandable that the train operating companies want to use that to best advantage. But yeah, sure, it's no fun when you get on a crowded train because you have to and you have to go to work, and it feels like a bad value for money.
Why are our trains so packed? I mean, surely there are enough statistics around to know how many carriages you need for each journey. Why are they still so packed?
I mean, the train operating companies, they know that there's overcrowding, and you know, often people say, well, why don't they just put an extra carriage on? And the answer is, they don't have an extra carriage. There aren't any spare. So why don't they buy some more? Well, they're not allowed to, because it's centrally managed by the Department for Transport. So the train operating companies themselves have very little room for manoeuvre. And it's all sort of centrally managed by DfT. So, you know, largely speaking, the blame has to lie with the government. And the sort of the long-term lack of investment that we've had in the railways in this country, and the fact that the number of passengers over the last 20 years has just gone up and up and up. It's now double what it was 20 years ago.
But so have their prices, though. Their prices have gone up and up and up. So if their prices are going up, but they're not buying extra rolling stock, what are we paying for?
Well, we're paying for, I suppose, a reduced subsidy on the part of the taxpayer, because it's a very deliberate government policy that they want to sort of shift the cost of travelling by rail onto the passenger and reduce the subsidy that the railways receive from central government. And, you know, you can argue either way. You could argue it's perfectly fair that the passengers pay their fair share, but obviously railways have huge knock-on advantages for people who don't travel by rail, you know, in terms of things like pollution, in terms of reducing congestion on the road and so on, and actually sort of making the economy work, keeping the wheels in motion. So we think it's fair that, you know, that there is a government subsidy. I think, you know, if you imagine that the railways suddenly shut down tomorrow, it would be absolute chaos. So we need the railways for the good of the country.
So what do you reckon is the answer? What's the best case scenario? How can we get that money to actually invest in the railways? And how is it less government involvement? Is it more government involvement? I think people are so confused.
Yeah, I think it does definitely lie at the heart of government. And what we're pushing for is not just, you know, piecemeal investment. What the railways have suffered from in the past is feast and famine. You know, you got £1 million to do this job, and then you get nothing for the next 8 years or something. So we want consistent long-term investment and a long-term vision for the railways. But it's like turning around a supertanker. It can't be done overnight. But just going back to your point about, you know, your basic theme about fake tickets, there is another knock-on consequence that perhaps you and your listeners aren't aware of. Obviously, when calculating how many passengers use a particular line, that's based on ticket sales. And if these sort of illegal ticket sales are going ahead, you're getting extra passengers which aren't being recorded in the official statistics. So when you're, you know, when it comes round to deciding who's going to get the next train, you know, the next batch of new trains or extra carriages, it's going to be the one with the least amount of fake travel on it, because their ticket sales will more accurately reflect how many people are actually travelling. And then the Department for Transport will say, well, you know, they need those extra trains over there, so that they'll get them rather than the overcrowded fake travellers who will be even more sardined with their fake tickets on these trains.
So shouldn't train operators then be doing everything they can to eliminate the fare dodging and to actually account for every passenger who's on there?
Absolutely, yes. And it's another concern that we've got at Rail Future, you know, that there are sort of holes in the system, loopholes, you know, where people can just hop on and off trains without getting their tickets checked. I mean, I know there's a little local line that I use sometimes, and you have to buy your ticket off the conductor, and sometimes you just don't see them. You can't buy a ticket, so there's revenue loss there.
But like the Underground, shouldn't we have barriers at every single station?
Well, they cost money, and they have to be supervised as well. So where you have a sort of relatively quiet station, you can only unman it if there's no ticket barrier, bizarrely, and then you have to rely on the presence of the guard on the train.
But it's that horrific trend as well. You see it in supermarkets, you see it everywhere, unmanning of everything.
Yeah, but there's always someone who can come and sort of help you when you press the button and the machine fails, and that's what you have to have, really. Well, certainly that's the situation as I understand it at the moment. So that isn't the sort of magic bullet that will do it. Obviously, I think we're... Considering the London Underground, for instance, I mean, many, many years ago, a man I know who was living in London, he was a poor student. He managed to get to, he was a graphic design student, and he managed to sort of get his Letra set out and forge his, his weekly travel card and get away with it. But, of course, those days are gone because you've got to forge the magnetic stripe on the back. So I think the London Underground is a good example of where it's fairly secure. I mean, there probably are still some loopholes, you know, but obviously that's a densely used system, but it's horses for courses. You know, other parts of the network, you can't do it that way.
So maybe
it relies on the human presence.
Exactly. So maybe that's what they should be looking towards. Bruce Williamson, we've run out of time. Thank you so much. Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, thanks for joining me.